Welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here. Now let's have some fun. Yeah.
Yay. Woo. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's another episode of the Brian Trust.
Ooh.
Can you believe it? The year is half over. 2017 is half dead.
Well, you can look at it this way. We're halfway to Christmas.
This is true. More than halfway to Christmas.
More now. Than halfway at the Slightly time of recording of this
Christmas.
Thing.
So we've got 100 and X number of days, shopping days, till Christmas. 173?
Good math. Is that it, right? I don't know.
173-ish.
Ish. Do the math.
Something like that. Somewhere around there.
Let's see.
3 shopping days till Christmas.
Divided by 2, carry the 1. I need a Julian calendar.
So we're back. We took a week off for various reasons, as it were. And it happens. Yeah, that way we could be here on a holiday weekend just for you, the listener.
Right.
So how was your time off overall?
Oh, it was good.
What'd you do? Anything exciting? Or?
Yes. Anything exciting? No.
All right.
No. It was work. I had the late shift and screwed up my schedule. Yeah, I had a lot of after hours work to do and messed up my schedule. So I'm back on normal now. But that happens in the world of IT. Sometimes we have to do things in the middle of the night. It's kind of like the shoemaker, right? And the elves, you know? The little elves make the shoes in the night, and then in the morning, everyone's like, hey, we love our shoes. Where'd they come from?
Yeah.
So that's what we do sometimes in IT is we have to act like ninjas or Green Beret in the middle of the night. Get out.
Or a bunch of elves.
Yeah, get in
and
get out.
The elves and the shoemaker go in and fix all them shoes and get out.
That's right.
Everybody's easy. Yeah.
We're in. Go.
It seems like a thankless job.
Sometimes.
And again, a lot of jobs are thankless jobs because if you're doing your job right, they never see you.
That's the thing in IT, actually, is if there's nothing to do, you're doing your job.
Yeah. That's the thing. I look at it like it's the CIA. Like, your successes are private, your failures are public.
Oh, my goodness. You have no idea. We actually have a saying also in IT that you are only as good as your last screw up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because it happens.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It happens. Stuff goes sideways quickly.
Of course.
You kind of just recover and go on to the next thing. Lay low for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Get your name out of the spotlight.
Yeah.
But no, it was nothing. Nothing really. I was just exhausted, and it was a lot of late nights. I mean, it was like work until 1, 2 in the morning almost every night, and then, you know, kind of it messes up your sleep schedule, and then, you know, if there's something that happens during the day, you get called anyway, and so it was just this, like, on-again, off-again thing of, you know, being working, and then late night, and then falling asleep at my desk while I'm working, or, you know, taking a break and falling asleep for 3 hours.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely.
It's just a mess. It's a big mess. But, you know, a lot of this stuff came, we changed up a lot of things because of the WannaCry virus. This is where we were talking about being, there's just a lot of changes in our industry now because of this thing. And we realized, you know, as a collective whole in the world that we're playing a different game now. And, so we have to stay up on top of things like, you know, like patching, and we have to do penetration testing, and we have to do, you know, all the things that we did it to, you know, be certified, and because that's the promise that we made to our customers and our, you know, and our company. But now it's way more routine and it's way more intense because there are NSA grade tools out there that people have gotten their hands on, and it's serious stuff.
Absolutely. Thanks, well, WikiLeaks.
Yeah, thanks. And then, you know, conspiracy theory wise, it's, you know, Microsoft and the NSA kind of knew about these vulnerabilities, but they kept them open because, you know, because the NSA needed to get into things, you know. So, and this is like high level, really deep stuff, right? So there's this whole conspiracy theory that, you know, like Microsoft and NSA were kind of in cahoots to keep stuff open and, you know. So, I don't know. We'll see. I have no
idea. I'm sure it wasn't, in theory, it wasn't malicious intent.
No, but it was. But think about it this way. However, Microsoft is a global solution, which means that the bad guys also have, you know, Microsoft operating systems. And so in order to get in and do your little espionage and things like that, you have to not, you have to leave the doors open, which also means that people here have the doors open. So I don't know. It's sort of, so the game has changed basically. And so we are way more intense about security and doing, you know, monthly patches and staying up on the security bulletins and all this other stuff. And so it's, So some things have changed, and we have to do some late night stuff because, you know, we have a business to run too. But the after hours work has picked up quite a bit. So that's basically what I've been doing. But nothing, you know. And we got through the heat wave.
Yay!
Now you're in Phoenix, and
this is true.
Geez, you guys hit 100. I was watching. You hit 119 one day.
Yep. Yes, we did. Ironically, it was on. It was right around June 20th.
The anniversary, right?
That was the anniversary when it hit 122.
I was watching.
We were so sure we were going to go. It was like,
I know everybody
close.
Was, we were all watching like, come on, do it. You know, at the same time, I felt bad for you, but I was excited that you were going to break a record.
Well, it wasn't the same day. It was close. And it did set a record for that day. It broke the record from the previous record, which was last year at 116, I think it was, that day. So
that is
anybody said climate change didn't happen, and I will guarantee you, because I've lived basically in Phoenix since about 1985, and it's drastically different than it was 30 years ago, believe me.
And this bull about, like, oh, it's a dry heat, it's not that bad. Okay, go inside your oven at 119 and sit there and go, all right, it's a dry heat, I can deal
with
this.
Well, and I get what they're talking about with...
That's still hot.
When you get humidity and things like that. But truthfully, once you get over like 105, it really doesn't matter anymore.
No, it doesn't. Your body kind of goes like, this is hot. I don't want to be here.
Well, and the funny thing, last summer, when we had this heat wave, remember, I didn't have a car.
Right.
At the time last summer. So I'm walking out to go get the bus, and I remember posting on Facebook, it was right around that time, it was like 115 out when I left work, and it's like, yeah, it's a dry heat, but when you step outside and breathe in that air, like, your mouth immediately becomes a desert. Like, it just sucked all the moisture out of your face. It's like,
That's awful.
It can get brutal. So I'm glad I have a car with working air conditioning.
Yay.
Things like that. So, you know, it's not too bad. But, yeah, a lot of it's been, especially during that heat wave, there were a couple days where it didn't get below 100 until almost midnight.
Yeah, we were watching.
Just because there was so much retained ground heat. It's usually about between like 8 and 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Because the sun's been down for a couple hours and things can radiate off. But those days especially, it just took way longer. And it was like, I'd see that and be like, dang.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was rough. It's not 100 yet here, right here where I am. It's only like 95 outside. But... it'll get up there. Yeah, it's only 95. Hey, you know,
it's only 95.
It's better than it being 105 right now. So, you know, it's 10 degrees can make a huge difference. Kids are outside yelling and playing in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Which unfortunate apartment location. Dang it.
Darn it. Yeah. It's in the 50s today here where I live. So.
Yeah.
The heat came on this morning in our house. I was like, "Oh, the heater's on. What's the temperature outside?" Oh, look, 54.
Well, I wanted to talk about, because you and I were talking about this off camera. Anyway, we were talking about the Big Sick, which is a new movie coming out.
Yes,
that has come out. That looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we were both ending up planning to see it today, like after the show.
I know.
Regardless, anyway. But I what I was doing during this time we had off and stuff, I've gotten back into watching movies. I usually on my breaks and lunches at work, like, mm-hmm. I started taking advantage of Netflix's offline.
Oh, yeah.
yeah, storage. So I download something off my watch list and off my list, and then just watch it at work.
Nice.
Like at lunch and stuff, because I have half an hour. I can sit there and watch a good chunk of the movie and then watch the rest when I get home. But I find I've been watching a lot of movies that are along that line, where they're kind of like romantic comedies or things. So I started with, there was a film called Today's Special.
Oh.
From Asif Manvi of The Daily Show. And I was amazed at how much I actually really enjoyed that movie. I was genuinely surprised. I thought I'd be like, all right, you know, it's a generic, it's one of those generic cooking related, because the main character is a chef.
Yes.
Who gets passed over for a promotion at the restaurant he's working at. So he basically quits. And then his dad runs like this small Indian restaurant.
Right.
Has a heart attack. So he has to take over. And, you know,
right.
Boy meets girl, you know, fun ensues. But I was amazed at how much I actually enjoyed it. And I was like, oh, wow, yeah, this was really good. And so I watched that. And there was a movie. And these are all on Netflix. So Today's Special. There was another one called Playing It Cool that I watched that wasn't bad. There were a couple of movies. There was an action movie called Inescapable that was all right. It wasn't great. It wasn't a masterpiece, but it was one of those. It started Alexander Siddig from Deep Space Nine as like a father. It's basically they're both Canadian movies. It's that one and an earlier one he did called Cairo Time, and they're very. Cairo Time is very meditative. There's a long stretches of people not actually saying things.
Oh.
And stuff. I watched that yesterday, and I was surprised. Like, I was kind of like... And then the way the movie ended, I'm just like... I felt like there should have been more. Like, the denouement didn't quite work. But in the context of the movie as a whole, it did work.
The denouement.
And it was like... I'm not used to seeing movies that just end like that, where it was like, well, wait, what about this? There's so many threads left untouched.
Yeah.
And it was like... I'm used to having everything wrapped up in a nice night package, as most American movies are. And it's like, oh, you know what? No, it's okay. Let that sit. You know, and Inescapable was the same way. Like, it ended happy, but it was like, wait, what about this? And what about this? And, you know, there's this huge thread that you left untouched. And I'm like, I don't get it. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, what? It's okay. Let it go.
Yeah. Hey. You said a word, denouement. For those that don't know what a denouement is. please explain.
Do you not know what a denouement is?
No, I do. I know it's like it's like the peak of the story, right?
Well, it's the
resolution.
That's the climax.
The climax. Sorry, it's like the resolution.
Is the peak.
Right?
The denouement is everything after the climax.
Right.
Basically,
when things are
wrapped up, it's just sort of like everything sort of. It's that whole idea of if you watch like a murder mystery and it's like the big climax of the final fight scene or whatever, and then they explain everything afterwards. It's like, well, I remember when he did this and that. If you remember back to, that's why he's the killer.
Welcome to the denouement.
Sometimes it tends to have a lot of exposition. Depends on what kind of movie you're watching, I think. But it's always that moment after the big... But after the big climax, where it's like, oh, now we get to see what happened afterwards. You know, it's that little bit to wrap everything up neat and tidy. And
I'm going to open up a motel chain called the Denouement because it's because after the climax, it's everything else that happens after that.
I have a feeling that's just going to be a pit of despair and darkness. I don't think you want that.
The Denouement. Welcome to the Denouement.
And so there's a lot of movies. So that was kind of interesting to get used to. So what I went through was my Netflix list and like called everything I've already seen.
Oh.
So I'm trying to make an effort to watch stuff that I have, the stuff I wanted to see and stuff I haven't seen.
Yes.
And try to get in more of a habit of watching a movie every day.
Oh, good for you.
And seeing new stuff. Not all of it's going to be great, but I pick it in the morning before I leave for work. It's like, what am I in the mood for? I'll scroll through the list and be like, okay, let's check that out.
Are one of those DC Cab by chance?
Well, no, that's on our movie club list for next month. That will come. I will watch that at some point.
I'm just saying.
It's not available for streaming yet.
No, it's not. It kind of is. I watched it.
I can rent it on Amazon and stuff, but it's on Netflix on the DVD, which I think I have it there. I'll find it. Yeah, I think I'll watch it at some point before we do. But that's not for a couple weeks, though.
No, I watched it after our podcast last time. It's good. It's okay. It's okay.
We'll get into it then.
We'll get into it.
You'll rewatch it later. We'll get into it then in full. But So no, I've been watching more movies like that. I watched some stuff on Amazon as well and and things. But one of the other things I watched was I got through watching this is completely different. Rick and Morty. Oh,
I love Rick and
the
Morty.
The cartoon.
Love it.
It's fantastic. Did you see they dropped the season 3 trailer?
Yes.
This week. I'm going to put it in the show notes because it's so funny.
I'm Pickle Rick.
I've watched it like a dozen times, and that makes me laugh so hard every single time.
He's like, move. What'd he say? He's like, turn the pickle over, Morty.
Turn over the pickle, Morty.
Turn over the pickle,
I turned myself into a pickle, Morty.
I'm Pickle Rick.
Bonkers. Yeah. It's so funny. It just, I never get tired watching it. It's
no.
Just for that. Like, even the rest of the trailer's like, eh, all right. But that in itself was so good. Just that one moment. And
what's that one character? Wait. What's that one character's name? Mr. Poopy Butthole?
Mr. Poopy Butthole, who closed out season 2? Yeah, on the...
Ooh-wee! Wasn't that crazy?
Well, and here's the thing that I really love about Rick and Morty. Besides the fact that it's really well written.
Mm-hmm.
It's solid. It's ridiculous. And the humor is not always crude, but most of the time it's... You know, it's that sort of semi-crude humor to it.
Right.
You know, it's a lot of fart jokes and things.
Of course.
But it's told... What I love is how much they respect their own continuity.
Right.
They're not... They don't reset everything. Like, it is actually going. So stuff... They end up referring to stuff...
Right.
...that happened, like, the first season, where it was like, oh, my God. Wow.
Right.
You know, and it just seems like a little thing, but then they go back and refer to it like, yeah, this still happened.
Right.
Like, what?
Well, and they're revolving around theoretical physics too. So they're they're throwing in all of this like really complicated, well thought out stuff by some top physicists, right? And you're like, cartoon.
I'm not sure how well thought out it really is, but I love that they honor the continuity of what's changed.
Right.
That's the key, and that's like, oh wow.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to. I can't talk about that too much because I don't want to spoil anything.
No,
if people get a chance to check it out, season 3 is coming at the end of July. Right now, during this month, Adult Swim is streaming seasons 1 and 2 live on their website over and over and over again in a loop. So I'm going to throw that in the show notes.
Yay.
And it is available. It's also available on Hulu for those who can't access the Adult Swim stream because it depends on your region.
That's how I saw it. Yep, right.
But I watched it on Hulu, and that's where I remember I caught one episode at Christmas at my sister's place when we got together for dinner.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's the weirdest thing. It was at the Anatomy Park episode. It was like episode 3 of season 1, which was kind of their Christmas episode because it had like Santa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ish. Yeah. Ish. It was taking place at Christmas.
Yeah.
But I was like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Right.
And then I saw it was available on Hulu. I'm like, okay, I got to check it out.
Because
I tried Adventure Time.
I did
and
too.
I couldn't get into it. And that's
okay.
Like I know people who love it and great.
But same thing with Archer. So. Archer. Like some people love Archer.
I really enjoyed the early seasons of Archer. I think it kind of for me it kind of went off the rails after when they did like Archer Vice or whatever. I think season 5.
Yeah.
And I think it just got tired after a while for me. And
I tried.
Okay. You know,
I tried.
I'll probably go back and watch it later. I'll probably catch up later on because I also didn't have cable anymore, so I couldn't watch it.
Right, we
don't on the regular. So I was like, I might catch up at some point. But same thing with Homeland on Showtime, which is supposedly really, really good. But the last season I saw, like season 4, I think, was like, I don't know how I felt about it at that.
Yeah, right.
But I'll probably go back and watch some of these to catch up on them at some point. But I'm not super stressing about it.
Right. My thing is, I'll give a show 3 episodes. Right.
Yeah,
if I can't connect or if I don't want more after 3, I kind of drop it.
Well, yeah, and that's always been my thought too. Oh, I remember when when Modern Family came out.
Yeah.
And I watched like the first episode and I couldn't get into it because I was sick of that kind of the mockumentary format like The Office did. Like everybody was trying to do that. And I'm like,
yeah.
But then later on, after I think when the second season rolled around, I had been talking to some people in an acting class. I'm like, it gets so much better. So I'm like, all right, I'll go back and watch it. So I did. And I got hooked on the show for a few years. And did end up watching it. I ended up just cutting it mainly because I was watching too much TV and I needed to cut some shows down.
It didn't make the cut.
So No, it was all right, but it was just like, yeah, there's only so much of that I can take.
Right.
And so
the only time that I made a mistake with not following through the show was the Goldbergs. The Goldbergs is filmed. It takes place in the 80s.
Right.
And I couldn't get into it the first couple episodes. And so I was like, I don't know. I forget it. And then a friend of mine, a couple of years later, was like, you don't watch the Goldbergs? What? Why? Right? No, go back and give it a chance. Yeah. Like, watch the whole first season, and then you'll see. And I did, and I'm hooked on it. And so I wasn't patient enough with the show. I guess it was slow to.
Well, that's like a lot of people say that about Parks and Rec as well, which was the Office spinoff sort of thing.
Yeah, I couldn't get
it
into.
Well, my understanding is the first season was rough, but starting with season two, it got like amazing really, really quickly because they finally kind of defined what the show was supposed to be. And, and I think they did away with the. Much like they did away with that kind of the mockumentary format a little bit more and just went more of a straight single camera sitcom, which worked a lot better for them, I think. So I don't know. And it's on my queue. I'll watch it again at some point. Right. I'll give it another shot at some point. But that's what I was told. It was kind of the first scene. But you know, I say that to people about Star Trek.
Yeah,
pretty much. Except for the original series, like the first scene of every Star Trek show kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Because they got to kind of find because it takes time to find your footing and figure out what you want to do and
right. Well, I made a mistake with a show this year.
Oh yeah,
I shouldn't have started watching it, and now I can't stop watching it because it's like watching a train wreck.
Oh, now I gotta know what show is it.
So I'm watching The Bachelorette.
Oh god!
And I don't know why, but I'm hooked on it. Like, I have to see what happens next.
I hate reality shows.
And I don't know why.
Like, I hate this stuff.
I have dropped it from my queue on my most watched on Hulu, where you can set up your little thing. I have dropped
it. Watch list, yeah.
Your watch list, sorry. I have dropped it at least three times. And then I'll go back and I'll be like, oh, I gotta watch. So I just left it up there. I'm like, you know what? Let's just see this through. Oh, whatever.
I understand.
Everybody has one.
It's one of those things where it's like, why?
Why did I start this?
Yeah. So, it's interesting. And that's the thing. Like, TV is good for me. The fact that everything's on hiatus right now.
Yeah.
Except apparently for Rick and Morty at the end of the month.
Yay.
Don't get me wrong. I'm excited. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to be able to watch it in first run. Because like on the Adult Swim site, to watch the latest episode, you have to have cable subscription.
Oh, yeah.
So they limit it. And it's like, oh!
What, even for Hulu?
So,
not for Hulu.
I don't know. I don't know if they release them in real time on Hulu.
Hulu, a day after or 2 days after. It depends.
Well, we'll see. Well, it depends on the show, and it depends on the network and the licensing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I hope so. If that's the case, great. It's still on my watch list, so it's like, if that's the case, and you know, that's fine. So I have other network shows on Hulu there as well. But there's a few like CBS isn't on Hulu because they have their own all access thing now.
Right.
I heard Fox is trying to do something. I'm like, why, dude? You've got Hulu. You own Hulu.
Yeah, what's up?
Literally, no, you literally own Hulu. Like Fox and NBC Universal and Disney, I think they all have a stake in Hulu, or they used to all have a stake in Hulu.
Yeah.
When it started. I mean, that was the deal.
Right.
So I don't know. And that was the whole point, was like it was supposed to be an alternative kind of to Netflix, or like a streaming place where they could still show ads.
Right.
Which is still the dumbest idea ever.
Right. We subscribe to the one that has no ads. But you can do that.
As do I. Yeah. So Hulu is currently owned by Disney and Fox and Comcast, NBC Universal, and Time Warner.
What?
Which is a minority owner. They only own 10%. But basically, so everybody except CBS is in this deal. Which
CBS
I think is funny.
Left out.
Well, I think they just I have a suspicion they just didn't want to be a part of it. There is some of their libraries like available, but it's essentially, it's older CBS stuff, like stuff that's not currently on air for them, basically. But now, they much like Amazon, like they have the add-ons for Showtime and the BBC and some of that stuff as well. So, There's been a lot of talk lately because like Netflix canceled several shows. Oh, and things like Sense8 was a big one
that
actually really liked, but they just, the fan outrage was so high. Apparently Netflix agreed to let them do like a 2-hour series finale that'll be out next year and stuff. So I'm looking forward to that. I mean, it's still a year off, but it's like, all right, that's fine. At least I know they'll wrap up the, cause they left the story kind of hanging.
Mm.
So I really want to see them. I'd like to see them at least wrap up the story effectively.
Mm.
And that was the Wachowskis along with, J. Michael Straczynski, who's created some amazing TV shows in his career. Like, he's a really fantastic writer. So, it's weird. There's a lot of sex to it, which is, I don't know why, but a lot less of it in its second season. There was a lot less of that.
So
that was a show, but they were saying, especially in that one, I'm not totally surprised because it was expensive to produce. Supposedly it was like upwards of like $10 million an episode.
Whoa.
For that. Well, because they shot all over the world.
Right.
There was a ton of location shooting.
$10 million an episode. Yeah. Wow-wee.
So, and it's very visually, visually it's fantastic.
Right. But they must have been losing money off of that.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. So like WGN America, a few years ago, they tried their hand at creating a slate of original programming. So they had Salem, which was set around like witches and stuff in Salem, Massachusetts. Then they had Manhattan, which was set around the Manhattan Project. And that was actually pretty good. But that was only like 2 seasons. And then they had Underground, which was the Underground Railroad. And they did 2 seasons, and that got canceled and caused a lot of uproar because they were like, well, you know, it's against black people, whatever. And it was like, well, it was a period piece, but it was expensive to make.
Yeah.
And WGN has said pretty much they're going to get out of, they're backing off of the idea that they were going to basically create a huge slate of their own stuff.
Oh.
Just because it just wasn't working for them. And it's tough because you're basically, like WGN, it's basically a regional network that has like a cable arm, you know, and yeah, that's tough. I get it. And even Netflix is backing off a little bit because money, I think they're starting to tighten their belts a little bit money wise. As they focus on some other original, well, cause they want to focus on creating more original content. And I think something like Sense8 was great, but for the money they were spending, it wasn't getting the viewership I think they wanted. So I think it did ultimately come down to the numbers.
Right. Hey, did you ever get into House of Cards?
Oh yeah, I watch every episode.
Oh
yeah, absolutely. I love
that show. That is a fantastic show to binge watch.
It is a bat crap crazy.
Holy,
especially
moly.
By now, it's like by season 5, like it's gone way off the rail. Not dramatically. I mean, in the story, like feels like things have gone way off the rails in a good way.
Yeah,
and it works. Like it still works. I think it's. I thought. Season 3 was a little shaky, and then season 4 kind of came roaring back, and season 5 was pretty good. I'm excited to see what happens with I'm presuming they're going to do a season 6.
Of course.
At this point, but I'm really excited to see what happens.
Are you totally caught up?
Oh, yeah. I watched the entire thing. I binged it pretty much as soon as it came out. So,
oh, yeah. We did, too. We took 2 days on that one. It was like Saturday, Sunday. We were
glued
to the TV.
There was a bunch of stuff that got released right around that time, so I had to wait a bit, and I'm like, okay, no, I need to get this out of the way so I can watch House of Cards, you know? So
Like, at the end of every episode, we'd look at each other, my wife and I, and we'd be like, you want to watch another one? Yes.
Yeah. I tried to limit it to two. I didn't watch it all at once. I tried to limit it to, like, two episodes a day.
Oh, no.
Mainly,
just
because I had all this other stuff I was trying to watch, too, and just time. And work and just a bunch of other stuff. So,
You're risking losing your binge watcher membership card.
But, I binge plenty of other things, but I've had to dial back just because of all this other stuff that I'm trying to get done.
All right.
It's a healthy thing. So the last thing I think I solidly binged was MST.
Hmm.
Because season 11, you know, like, let's watch it again. And I watched it again recently. So
good for you.
And that's one, and see, there's a show that I think that could have longevity on something like Netflix because it is relatively cheap to produce.
Mm.
I think if they make some changes from what they did this year, because I think they went a little overboard on certain spots.
Yeah.
I think if they dial back a little bit on that stuff to save themselves some money, kind of get back to that sort of the homegrown feel of the show that made it popular in the first place.
Yeah.
then I think I think it's got some serious legs for that, especially for Netflix. It's got to be super attractive because it's like, ooh, right. this doesn't cost $10 million an episode. Like, awesome.
Did you did you ever get into Genius? Albert Einstein.
I didn't yet because it wasn't really available anywhere.
Yeah.
Online. Because I don't have cables. It was on the National Geographic Channel.
Yes.
And I don't.
It's a mini series. So. It's just a mini series. Yeah. That's all it is.
I'll watch it at some.
It's
point.
It's like Shogun, right? It's like it's got a finale. You know.
I'm curious. Yeah, I'll watch it at some point. It was one of those like I was like, all right. You know,
it's good. Kind of, no, it's good. I didn't realize.
I believe
we watched it. Yeah, there was. It's. I mean, historically, it was very sound.
Jeffrey Rush. Jeffrey Rush was playing Einstein, right? I think it was.
I don't know. So. I'm not sure. It was actors that I wasn't familiar with. So,
sure. No.
It's a fantastic story of Albert Einstein's life, and I didn't realize how involved he was with the creation of the atomic bomb. I had no idea. So it's very interesting. You don't think
Jeffrey
about
Rush
that.
As the Jeffrey Rush as the older Einstein. There was a different
As
younger Einstein.
Exactly. Yeah. As everyone got older, they switched out a lot of the characters. I mean, a lot of the actors.
As you would.
Yes. But it was fantastic. It was really good.
Oh, yeah. No, well, you know, that was Ron Howard directed that. I mean, that was kind of his thing. So
it was good.
Him and Brian Grazer, they rarely go wrong.
No.
So it's...
They blew it out of the water with this one.
And it was all based on Walter Isaacson's book, I think.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
So, that makes perfect sense because he writes really good biographies.
It was fantastic. Highly recommend it.
Yeah, no, I will probably, like I said, it's on my list of things to see eventually, but I've got a huge list of things to see.
Right.
So I'd be curious to see Genius because it is, they are coming back for a season two.
They are?
Well, not with Einstein, though. They're doing Picasso.
Oh, I got you.
I think what they're going to do is probably a different person every season.
Oh, right.
And that actually makes sense to kind of do it as like an anthology almost.
Exactly. They're just showcasing different geniuses.
Yeah.
Basically.
Oh, Seth Gable. Well, that figures.
Yeah.
like Seth Gable was in this. Well, I figured he's Ron Howard's son-in-law.
Ah.
He's married to Bryce Dallas Howard.
Ah. So,
yeah. No, he's a good actor, though. I believe it. He's actually a really good actor as well. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so.
There's a lot of TV out there. I think you got to be selective about what you get into because it'll make you crazy.
Well, and
I got to be careful. I have to be careful about what I binge because I made a mistake one time of binging The Sopranos.
Ooh.
And, that's tough because I was like dreaming. I was dreaming Sopranos, right? And they were some nasty.
I still have never watched it.
It's a good show. It'll rope you in for sure.
And that's the thing. Part of it is like I really don't have the time to get roped into another show. Even though it's one that's not producing new episodes anymore, but I was like, maybe it's not for me.
And the ending will make you mad. The ending.
Oh, I know about the ending already. So that was
emotional. I was mad.
There's only so much I think I can take at some points. And it's just like, you know what? I need to dial back. Well, especially because then if I'm watching, I'm not creating, which is really what I want to be doing more. And so I don't want to cut it out entirely because I do want to keep up with what's going on.
Right.
And that's the thing is I want to keep up with what's coming out now.
Right.
And so some things I have to keep off. This actually goes into something I really didn't think I'd bring it up, but. Okay, well, and that's the thing. Like, you have to see this, or you have to. Right. I'm like, no, we really don't have to watch anything. We make a choice, it's our FOMO, our fear of missing out, that triggers out. Like, okay, I got to watch this too, and I got to watch this, and I got to watch this, and I got to watch this. And
you
end up watching like 6 hours of TV a night, and not getting enough sleep to go to work the next day. And, you know, it just causes problems. And I used to do that as well. Like especially when in periods where I was not steadily employed, I would be watching TV all day.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I could have spent all this time doing this. And, you know, kick yourself at the end of the day. Like, man, I could have cleaned the apartment. I could have vacuumed. I could have, you know, I could have done all of this other stuff while this was going on or thing, just because I didn't want to miss out.
Right.
And I realized it's like, you know what? Maybe we miss out.
Yeah, right.
It's good. There's something to be said for being forced to make a choice.
Right, exactly. I saw a meme one time, and it was a stupid little meme, but it stuck with me. Mm. And it said, "If you have crap to do, turn off the TV." I was like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah.
And every once in a while, I'll sit in front of the TV, and I know I have stuff to do, and that dumb little meme will pop in my head.
Yeah.
If you have crap to do, turn off the TV.
For me, what it is I've gotten far more selective. It's harder for me when the fall rolls around because I want to keep up with the latest show.
Of course.
When I read online and I see talk about the episode, I'm like, well, I want to be engaged in the conversation
right.
with people. And in order to do that, I need to actually be up on what's going on.
Right. Well, not only that, but you and I are, someone in an industry where when we actually watch a performance or something, we're not only engaged in the storyline, but we're also learning about, for example, in the world of voiceover, David Lawrence says this all the time. When you're listening to podcasts or you're watching TV, listen to the commercials too. Yeah, if anything, absolutely. Just to learn how the commercials are, the cadence and all this other stuff in the commercials.
Yeah.
Right. And how people are doing it. And I find that to be so true that sometimes, I mean, even as a musician, when I go to live performances, not only am I enjoying the music, but I'm watching them. I'm learning. I'm like, oh, that's a cool setup with a drum set, or that's amazing. Yeah. I wonder what kind of pedal that guitarist is using, or what kind of mics are they using, or look at the PA. It's amazing. Right. So, I mean, I think as learners and students of this industry, you and I engage in the entertainment world a little differently than the normal Joe on the street, right?
Well, and I think that I think that's true for the most part. I know when I watch, and that's the thing, like the movies I watch on Netflix, like it has a purpose to it.
Mm-hmm.
When I watch this stuff, partially because I want to see a good movie.
Yeah,
I tend to watch the movies and see if I can figure out the beats, and I do see I see the flaws when I watch it now, and mm-hmm. like I'm not a writer, I'm not a director per se, and mm-hmm. and I think if I fall into anything, it'd be more besides an actor, being a producer, and they like watching what ends up on screen and kind of picking out and part of it's to see if I can figure out where the story's going to go
mm-hmm.
as well, because occasionally I'm surprised, and when I am, it's fantastic.
Yep.
If I'm not, that's okay, as long as it's told effectively. It's like, yeah, you know what? I actually really got invested in that anyway. It was a very mm-hmm. formulaic show, but...
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, when we talked about Wonder Woman, I love Wonder Woman. It's a very formulaic mm-hmm. story.
Yeah.
Like, it's beat, beat, beat. Like, you know exactly where the story's going. You know how it's going to end, but it's still a great ride. And that's what really matters for the most part.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of Wonder Woman... Yeah. The Marvel Universe they dropped a new trailer for a TV show. Did you see that?
Oh, The Inhumans, yes. I was aware that they were... I saw the first teaser. This is the first full trailer for it. And I'm intrigued, mainly Lockjaw, the giant dog. I'm so happy that they included that character. I'm thrilled that they included him. So that's... Yeah. Okay. I was concerned about some of it. I will watch it. I'll check it out when it comes out because I always try to watch every new show at least one or two episodes to kind of get in, see if I can get into it, which makes it very interesting in the fall.
Yes.
Because I suddenly get swamped with not just my regular shows, and I've got all this other stuff to watch mm-hmm. too.
Right.
I've had a couple years where I made it a point to watch every single pilot that aired.
Yeah.
Of everything on every network. Like I would get every copy. I would get copies of everything just to watch it and go, this might do well. I like this. I don't like this. Just to get a sense of what might be out there.
Yeah.
Not just to fit me physically as an actor, like, do I want to get to know these people? Do I want to be, do I think this has legs and could be involved in it?
Right. In that same vein, I did a thing one year where, I took a cue from a friend of mine, in Florida, his name is Matt, and, he has a band called Megaphone, which I want to talk about a little bit later, but, what he does every once in a while is he sits and he listens to full albums. He just sits on his couch, puts the headphones on, and he just closes his eyes and he listens to a full album of whatever, whatever his favorite band is that day, whatever. And so I took that challenge one step further and I said, you know what? I want to listen to the inaugural album of all of my favorite bands. So I was only listening to the first album in its entirety of bands that I really, you know, that I really get into, like The Who or Led Zeppelin or Van Halen or Genesis, you know, whatever. I was listening to the very first album only. Mm. And that was intense because that's the album that they usually spend the most amount of time and money on because that's their launching out of the gate.
Yeah. You know, yeah, you want that. And that's, I think that's true. And that's true in TV as well. If you find something that's a big concept that they're sure is going to be a huge hit. And that's what happened with Lost.
Yeah.
Like that first season was they put everything into that first season. It was great. And then they got a second season of like, well, wait, where do we go from here? Oh, crap. they kind of, you know, pooped the bed a little bit after that because they weren't sure where they were going to go. Yeah. When you get a series, I mean, if you contrast that with something, an older series like Babylon 5, where, again, J. Michael Straczynski, who created that show, he came in and he had everything plotted out for 100 episodes.
Yeah.
Like, he had 5-year plot line. It's going to have a beginning, a middle, and an end, and that's it. Like, we're not going to season 6. We're not doing anything. We're going to get these episodes out, and that's it.
Yeah.
And he wrote, like, in the third season, he wrote every script of that third season.
Yeah.
Which I think is still a record at this point. Yeah. It was like 20 episodes of the show straight through, and he was the only one who wrote it on all of those.
Yeah.
So I think, which is good because that was also the pivotal season of the series. But when you get into it, I think it's good to have when you go in, and they talk about that, what they call a show Bible. Hmm. When somebody's creating a show, it's usually created once the show is set, because when you bring other people on, it's essentially the entire universe laid out in paper form or digital, some kind of reference file, essentially like an encyclopedia of the show for the writers.
Yeah.
And the people on staff would be like, well, this is this character and this is their backstory and this is why, this is their motivations for certain things. And it depends on how well fleshed out it is, you know, whether it works or not.
Yeah.
And it will change over time, obviously, as you add things that kind of becomes this is the canon of the show.
Yeah.
When they talk about it, that's what they're talking about. Usually is like what's based on the show Bible. Like, this character will never do this.
Yeah.
So when you have an episode where they do this, they'll be like, no, yeah. Why are you doing that? You know, unless you explain it, that doesn't really work.
Yeah.
So I think I think it's important to watch this stuff. Obviously, if you're in the industry or things like that, you want to be watching as much as you can. Obviously, time constraints can cause issues. Streaming has helped out a lot, though, and being able to stream and watch stuff later and do stuff, you know, a lot of the rise of VOD as financially, I don't know, unbalanced as it can be for creators, for people to just be able to watch stuff whenever they want.
Yeah.
It's a trade-off, but it allows them the opportunity to really to be seen, you know, because people then can watch it, you know, even if it's on their time. And and Live+3, Live+7, that started to figure into network ratings a lot more often too. So not just how many people are watching it live, but how many people are streaming it within a week.
Right.
Or 3 days or so. You know, that's becoming a big thing. So some shows don't do well live, but when you add in the +3 or the +7, then it becomes a huge hit. And it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And this is why, is because they're doing this. So you want to make sure they're, you know, accessing it as effectively. So
Yeah.
Which is why I hope they change their minds about the new Star Trek series that's coming in the fall and not putting it on behind this paywall that they've got with the CBS All Access. At least let people stream it. You know, and to see it, because that's
right.
It's a huge mistake to do that effectively. You know, and
but you know what I found. So I watched The Big Bang Theory, and we don't have cable. And The Big Bang Theory, their latest episodes sit in the free section for a little while.
Yeah, it's usually the last two or three episodes or things like that. Yes,
right. And so I catch it weekly, but I catch it when it goes up on
that's what I do.
And I don't have a subscription to all.
I have the CBS app on my iPad, and that's how I watch it as well. Like, I'll just watch it on there because I can't watch it on my Roku or the Apple TV because it requires the All Access login.
Right.
Like, you have to subscribe to do that, but I can watch it on my iPad just fine under the free section. I'm like, really? Really, guys? So I suppose if I had the newer Apple TV, I think it'll actually let you do it. Mm. But the older CBS app on the older TVs, it won't let you.
Right.
watch stuff for free. It's like, even with the ads, are you sure? Right. I don't mind. I can live through the ads. I don't like the ads, but I can live through them.
Right.
You know, so.
So I put in the show notes, I touched on this, Megaphone Music. Megaphone is it's a band created by a friend of ours in Orlando, Florida, and they're fantastic. And I told Matt that I would plug him on the show.
Today. That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they just came out with a new album. They've been through a little bit of drama as a band. Normal band stuff, you know. being in a band, you know, the dynamics change and things like that. Yeah. And people have lives and jobs and whatever. And so Matt is determined to keep the music alive in this band. And so he and, of course, the rest of the guys worked really hard on this album that they put out. And they put out a new album. It's called Sending Out a Signal. That's really good. They had their launch party in Orlando last weekend. And we unfortunately didn't get to go. But somebody live streamed it on Facebook. And so, and they were at the House of Blues in Orlando at Disney Springs. And so, so we got to watch the whole show. So we're so excited for these guys. And I wanted to plug them and check them out. It's hard rock. It's good music. If you like rock and roll, you'll love Megaphone. They're good. And they're a great bunch of guys too. Nicest guys you'll ever meet. And they love playing music and they love having fun, and it shows.
Streaming samples.
Yeah, they're good.
They should put some streaming samples up so people can actually sample the music, at least listen to it a little bit before they buy and see if that's
They're doing this release where they are, first of all, you can buy the album on their website, megaphonemusic.com, right? Eventually it will be available on iTunes. I think they said limited release on Spotify. And then I think they have hard CDs available as well.
Yeah, so, I do see that here. You can choose between CD or a digital download on the albums and stuff. Exactly. But that's the thing. Like, if I've never heard this band before, like looking at their website, I want to actually hear what they sound like before I consider. Exactly. I mean, I trust your recommendations and stuff.
Yeah.
Like hard rock's not necessarily my thing all the time.
Right.
So I tend to get picky about stuff.
Yeah.
So something like that. I mean, that would be my suggestion to them. Is if there's just samples of, it doesn't have to be the full thing.
Right.
Like like the way they do it in iTunes, where it's like 30 seconds or something, you can hear it and see what it sounds like and see if it's soundy you appreciate.
Do they have samples? Let me look.
They do not.
Oh, you're looking.
I am looking.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying.
I do not see samples, and that's unfortunate. Yeah. I think that I'm not saying that's going to guarantee sales, but I think it's more likely to.
Right.
If you can get like attention, if they're like,
like a 20-second taste of each sample, or a 1 minute taste or whatever.
Yeah.
What does iTunes do now? iTunes, I think, is a minute, right?
iTunes is like a minute, but I think 30 seconds is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And especially if it's DRM free, things like that, which is attractive for not being on iTunes.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like people like DRM free. That's good. I mean, I like their approach in some ways, but I would suggest that that's not mandatory, but I would think it would help them.
That's good feedback. I'll work on that and get back to you.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But they don't have to listen to me. I don't know anything from anything, but that's
all right. Whatever. But you are, No, you're good. You're good. I'll send them a note.
Cool.
Because we're kind of tight with them. They're good. They're good.
Well, and you said Matt was he was also in the band formerly known as
Mulch, Sweat, and Shears.
Yes, that one. Yeah. For those of you who don't remember, we talked about this a while, long while ago. Mulch, Sweat, and Shears was a band that played at Disney World.
Yep.
In Orlando, and that was their whole gimmick, was trying to get a record contract or
something. They were trying to get a record. They were landscapers that had snuck into the park.
Right.
And they played at Hollywood Studios. So it was Hollywood Studios, Orlando, Florida, right? And they snuck in the park acting as landscapers, and then they would park themselves like on the streets of America. That's gone now. They've remodeled that. But they would park themselves on the streets of America. They would take off their shirts. They would lower the stage, not their work shirts, and then underneath were like rock and roll t-shirts, you know, whatever. And then they would, they were a cover band basically. And it was great. And they would do 25 minute shows, and they would do it all day long. And they had quite a following. They had a really big following. And we all knew this because at the end, at the very end, when Disney had basically, cut their show, said, that's it. They had a final show, and there was where they had played in the front of the park. It was just a sea of people. I mean, it was so many people that came out to support them and and see them off. And so, and then the final thing was, of course, they got a telegram from a fake record company saying that they got a record deal. and that brought what was cool about, I mean, we all knew as adults, we all knew it was happening. They were getting basically the contracts were cut from Disney, but the kids had no idea. And the storyline needed to, you know, they needed a denouement, right?
Did I use that properly? Was their last show.
Yeah.
And that's the climax. And then you get the end where it's like, yay!
We got a record deal. And all the kids were like, Mom, they got a record deal. They did it, right? It was so cool to see that because the kids, they didn't know. And everyone's like, yeah, they got a record. And then, of course, their last, you know, hurrah was that they rolled off into the sunset behind the closed doors, and that was it. But that group actually stayed together. The people in that band stayed together, and they formed another band called American Martian, and they're really good. And cool. they're a cover band. It's the same. It's basically the same show.
Yeah.
But they do it as.
They can't legally do it as Mulch, Sweat, and Tears
anymore. There's, right, exactly. So there's no shtick, right? I mean, there's no storyline.
So now they're playing in front of NASA at Cape Canaveral in hopes to get a record contract in space.
Exactly. They want the first record deal on Mars for when we colonize there. Yeah,
that's awesome. That would be awesome.
That's the storyline. You know,
I think that would go over great at the Kennedy Center because they really need something at the Visitor Center to spice that up a little bit.
Yeah, they do. I think they do. We are American Martian. We are a band.
We're going to science the out of this.
Right.
Sign out for a free ride. Free ride. That's all it is, just free ride over and over again. And no, Steppenwolf, you know, Magic Carpet Ride. You know, like,
yeah, exactly. Anyway, but Matt, who is the lead singer and rhythm guitarist in Megaphone, he was the drummer in Mulch, and he's also the drummer in American Martian. He's also a drummer in Blue Man, and he's also a drummer with. Oh, there's so many other bands that he's in. This guy does not stop. He's like he is a powerhouse musician. Like, he is just everywhere. And anyway, so he's good. Good people, good music. Check out Megaphone. Highly recommend them. Yeah. Good stuff. You won't be disappointed.
Cool.
Yeah. Speaking of live music, I went and saw there's a radio station here called 107.7 The Bone. Not a sponsor. They actually had sponsored a concert in Concord, California, and it was three bands, $30, right? And it was Don Felder, REO Speedwagon, and then Styx.
Woo! And
what a good show that was! That was pretty cool. A lot of nostalgia there. And it was fantastic. This concert started at 7, ended at 11. So we had 4 solid hours of just rock and roll.
Oh, good.
And I think the average age at this concert
must be quiet hours in that city. Well, that happens here, actually. The Mesa Amphitheater, which is like walking distance from my apartment.
Yeah.
There are a lot of shows like that where they do concerts and things. And they have like, not, it wasn't like Monsters of Rock. It was something like that, where it was like a bunch of metal bands and stuff that were playing there.
Yeah.
And they had to end right at 10.
Yeah.
Like, and I remember, because it happened like right after I first moved in here. Yeah. And I was trying to sleep. And it was just so, because it was like 9 o'clock. And I could hear it from there, like really loud. And it was like, oh my God, are you serious? I thought it was a neighbor or something. And I went online and looked up what was going on. Oh, crying out loud.
Yeah.
And then at 10 o'clock, boom, like it just went dead silent. Like they ended, like they were ended right on time. And it was just.
Whether they're done or not, they pull the plug.
Well, no, they were done. Like they finished like right before 10. And that was it. Right. And I was like,
yeah.
Whoa, that's creepy.
Wow.
What? Yeah, that's what's weird. Going on? That's super.
Yeah.
And I think I went to bed extra early that day. I can't even remember why, but it was. I'm just like, wow, it's super creepy. And then I found out the next day. I was like, why'd that happen? And I found out like the city of Mesa here has quiet hours.
Wow.
So you're not. It's a noise curfew. So basically, after 10 o'clock, everything stops. So
yeah,
people can get a decent night's sleep. I'm like, hey, I like that. I appreciate that. You know.
Well, this show I went to, I think that the average age was probably in the 40s. Because there were a lot of people who were like, they were really big REO Speedwagon fans when REO Speedwagon came out in the. I didn't know REO Speedwagon came out in the 60s.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's like, you think about some of these bands and things, especially the ones that were big in the 80s, like Aerosmith has been around since like the 60s. But they didn't get really big until like the late 70s at least. Like it was a long time before they got really huge.
Right.
But they started like the same time the Stones did. And
And that's, you know what, for me, that's the sweet spot of music for me. I love music that's like right at the end of the 70s. And kind of into like 1983, like the early 80s.
It's before pop really took off.
Yes, right before the 80s genre style of music kicked in. Yeah. There was that sweet spot of like 70s rock, early 80s rock, and it's like right in there. But once you get past like 83, 84, then you start. It's like
that's when you get into that's when you really start getting into the hair bands and some of that stuff.
Yeah, and even some of that is
like,
okay.
Some of the rise of stuff like Poison and and some of the more kind of just the hair bands. Yeah,
right. And some of that's okay. I'm not knocking that.
Oh yeah,
I really enjoy 70s rock. The end of 70s rock, early 80s. Like right in that little pocket. I love
that. Well, I mean, and that's the thing. There are exceptions in there, you know, for every you know, Knight Rider or whatever. Guns N' Roses came up at that time in the 80s. Like, that's when they kind of started getting big. And so there are, like, solid bands that came out of that. And Queensryche is another one, I think, later on. That was a little more later in the 80s. But things like that I appreciate some of their stuff, too. So, I mean, it's kind of...
Yeah. But I love live music. Live music, I just love it.
I don't, but I'm a control freak, so it's kind of hard for me.
Right.
Music-wise, I've never been a big fan. Like, I don't mind live performances of some stuff, but I find it's harder to appreciate the music when it's live because you can't really hear it as well. And
Oh, I have
it's like
secret.
Muddled, and it's not clear. It's like it's muddled, and you got the giant speakers, and it's loud. And
I don't do well in loud spaces.
So.
I have a trick for that. So Heroes makes an earplug. It's called Heroes. I think it's still called Heroes High. It's either called Hero High Fidelity or Heroes Performance. They've changed the name, I think. Don't quote me on that. But what it is, it's a silicone earplug that has a plastic piece sticking out the side. And what that does is it not only does it lower the decibels significantly, but it allows the full range of frequencies to come through.
Right.
So it's as if God himself turned the volume down when you put these things in.
Heroes High Fidelity. I'm on their website.
Yes.
Right now.
That is my go-to concert earplug. And it's fantastic. I do that when I go to small venues. Well, small venues especially, because you go into a small little dive bar, and all of a sudden you're like, you can feel your eyeballs vibrating.
Well,
right?
And I look at it like this, which is more of if a band, and that's the thing, to make it a really good show, I think the band needs to know the room.
Yes.
Like they need to be able to, and they need to be able to make a show. Like there was, I had a friend in high school. It was a year ahead of me, but he's now a professional drummer in a number of bands in LA, and he's played with a few different bands. His current one is called Modern Bronze.
Mm.
And they're not bad. They're actually prepping a new album this year as well. And he was previously with a band called The Elizabeth Kill.
Mm.
And I went to see them a few years ago. They were playing at this bar in LA called Molly Malone's, which is an Irish pub, but they do a lot of house band kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I've been there a couple times where bands have played that don't really, like, try to overflow that room with sound.
right,
and things. But if you dial it back, if you play it right, you can really, you can fill the room just enough with sound acoustically, which is what you want in any music performance.
Right.
But they also put on a freaking show. Like it was,
and that's fantastic.
Was a good show for that side. Like they actually had some. I can't. It's hard to describe, but all the songs kind of flowed together well.
Right.
It just, it was a really good set. And I'm like,
right.
And it got me into that. I was like, wow, I really appreciate this music. Yeah. You know, it was kind of, they know what they're doing, you know,
right.
It's great.
And that's like the extra member of the band is the sound engineer, right?
Yeah.
The guy that sits at the board and manages that whole thing. And a lot of times what I have found in my career as a musician is that the person running the board,
most of those guys just check out. Yeah,
is deaf. He's either deaf or he's just, you know, perpetuating the stigma that you have to blow everybody's eardrums out.
Yeah. And I've had friends' bands who played. I had another friend years before that who played Molly Malone's, and I went there and their set was good. Like I liked their music, and it was really good, and it really spoke to me. But that set was not great because it was loud, and it overpowered the room, and it just
absolutely.
Was like, you know, and it's unfortunate because the music's really, really good. And it was like, oh, man.
Yeah,
come on.
Exactly. Now, I've been in places, I've been in bars and I've been in venues where the sound engineer was fantastic. Like, he won't overpower the room.
Yeah.
And it's loud, but it's tolerable. You know,
yeah.
I think there's a certain amount of loudness that goes with rock, but it doesn't have to be like, you know, to the point where it's a medical issue that you're going to be, you know, that your eardrums are going to be perforated by the time that they're done.
And it's always a big concern to me because I'm already losing hearing in my right ear anyway, little by little over the years. And that's from past injury years ago.
Sure.
And at least I'm pretty sure. But I mean, so I get very, and obviously doing voiceover work, things like that, hearing's kind of important for the things that I do.
Oh, you have to protect your hearing. You have
to. It's kind of, so I try to be much more careful about it. I've been hesitant mainly just because of the financial outlay to invest in hearing aids.
Right.
What I'm probably going to need them at some point.
Right.
Sure.
Yep. But as an adult, you know, as an adult, things don't heal as fast as they used to when we were kids.
No,
you know,
yeah.
I went to one concert when I was a kid, my very, very first, and I had no idea. I did not know anything about concerts or anything. I went to go see Whitesnake. My very first concert. And that was incredibly, incredibly loud. And the next day, I had school the next day, I couldn't hear anything.
Yeah.
I heard all day long.
Yeah, I think my first concert, my first non-symphony concert, because I went to a lot as a kid, a lot of them that I played in too. So, I mean, it wasn't, but I went to see at the Arizona, you know, at the state fair, because they always have acts to come in, but Joe Satriani was on tour.
Ah.
And a friend of mine, I had a friend at the time, is probably close to my best friend, and he was really into Satriani. So he introduced me to the music. And so we went to the show.
That guy's amazing.
And it was all right. It was, I enjoyed the show very much for the most part. We were sitting far enough back that I could actually hear the music.
Yeah.
For the most part. And it wasn't terrible. You know, the experience wasn't overall, you know, it's like, it's a state fair.
you're,
you know, and it was built around a stadium there that we had, the Veterans Memorial Coliseum.
Yeah.
And so the bands were playing in there. So there's plenty of seating. It wasn't, we were sitting quite a ways back, so we weren't down in the crowd and stuff. So
yeah.
It wasn't,
yeah.
You know, but I just, yeah, most shows like that, it's not my thing, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Like I know,
of course,
my sister goes to live shows all the time.
Yeah,
they'll go to Vegas for stuff. She's been to see New Kids on the Block still, still a huge fan, so she still sees their tours when they come through. And
I want, you know what? I want to go see Donnie and Marie. I want to go see Donnie and Marie.
They're
in Vegas.
My sister. Well, they're playing here in Phoenix in a few weeks.
Oh, go.
I'm not gonna go.
Come on!
I'm not into Donnie and Marie.
Oh,
so it's not.
Come on! Each and every one of us is a little bit country and a little bit rock and roll.
When we were kids back in, I listened to Deep Purple, the one album they had back in like the early '80s, because my sister had it and we had to listen to it over and over and over again.
Donnie Marie, what?
Yeah,
they had an album called Deep Purple.
I think that's what it was called. I'm trying to remember.
All right.
It was something like that.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, deep. It's going to drive me crazy. If
I watched their show. I didn't listen to any of their albums. I watched the show.
Well, that was one that I just that they had at the time, and it was I'm trying to remember it was what the name of that. Yeah,
I can't believe they would call it Deep Purple because that was
well. No, I think that was one. It was because it was. I don't know if that was necessarily the name of it per se. It was. That was the name of the... That was the name of the song. There was a song called Deep Purple that they performed. It was a cover. I think it was a cover of something. And then... Okay. Yeah, it was a cover that they did in like the late 70s, early 80s, but they brought it up on the TV show as well. But there was an album that they did...
It was called Deep Purple.
Yeah, it was an album they did that was like a compilation of songs from the show.
Yeah,
that they performed on the show, and that was one of those that was on there. I remember, and that was that. I mean, the song was good, but it was.
Album is called Deep Purple. You're absolutely correct, man. It came out in 1976. It has it was an album 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on the A side, 6 songs on the B side.
Yeah.
Deep Purple is also the name of a song.
Yes.
But that was the album. The album, Deep Purple. Yeah. How about that? I had no
idea. Which is weird because you can't find it. Like, I'm trying to find it in their discography. Like, I can't find it anywhere.
Yeah, well, maybe they want to forget about it, but we haven't.
But that has a lot of the songs that they're famous for.
Yeah, right. There you go.
A little bit of country, a little bit of rock and roll, and all that. That is the one. Yeah, that is the album. I think I don't remember. We didn't get it in 76. I don't remember when my sister got it, but I remember listening to it. So It Takes Two was on there, and Hey, My Name Is Al. Oh God, some of these songs like they're still in my head even 40 years later. Like
man,
Marianne, the very first song on there. Yeah, I remember that song.
I just thought it was weird
Come
that
on,
a brother.
Oh, yeah, like it's still in my head. Like,
right, you will stop that right now.
Even decades later. Is it on digital? I want to get that. I'm tempted. Tempted to get some of those songs. No, I'll find them on iTunes if I really feel the need to add them.
I just thought it was weird that a brother and sister got along so well. That's all. Well, I was like, what? Are they married? What is going on?
I was like, wait, are you talking about them or are you talking about me and my sister? That's kind of weird. Because, no, we were way more, it was hot, we ran hot and cold.
Us too. Like, we could be friends 1 minute and then at each other's throats, you know, that
basically,
afternoon.
I mean, we kind of leveled off after my sister had her kid, so we're in a good place. Kind of like, we're, like, my brother, my sister, and I all get along now and the fact we rarely see each other anymore, that probably helps.
Right.
But my sister and I talk all the time, so it's not so bad, you know.
Oh, good.
Well, she's the only one who still lives here. I'm kind of by default, like, it's the only family I hang out with, if ever. But they live for their life. It's fine. You know, they could call me, invite me to lunch once in a while. Now I'm going to cut that part out.
No, you will leave that in there, sir. That's
I mostly just go hang out with them on holidays and stuff. Like, we go for dinner and things like that.
Sure.
You know.
So that's my secret. So that's my trick. If you want to, and I went to this concert and it was loud. We were sitting right. We went to Concord. The pavilion. It's a pavilion, and so they have a covered area, and then they have this grassy area in the back where you can go and sit. But we were sitting right underneath speakers that were pointed right at us, pretty much. And so my trick, whenever I go to live performances, and I've done this ever since that Whitesnake concert, is I always wear ear protection. The foamy kind will muffle everything, and you'll hate it.
Get a good, decent pair. Like the high fidelity ones he's talking about run you maybe $10-15.
They're washable. They're reusable.
That's the key. Find ones that are reusable, that are high end. And that's the thing. They're high end. They don't cost a lot for high end earplugs. So.
Exactly. So I used those when I was playing acoustic drums.
I used to have a pair for stuff like that for a while. Like when my uncle Bob and I used to go shooting.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I used to go target shooting. I had a pair that worked really well for that.
It's target shooting. Shooting guns, totally different. I use double ear protection for that.
And then I ended up, later on, I went to just the straight you know, muffle. Full
I use
both.
I learned this in the military because I used to work around, you know, yeah. I used to work in front of screaming jet engines, right? So sure. What we used to do was we would take the foamies, the yellow foamies, we'd stick them in our yeah. ears, and then we would put the headphones on so you could double your sure. protection. And that yeah. cuts out everything. Like, you well, want makes solid sense. Protection. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So those things could be...
You wonder why they use hand signals, kids. That's why. Because that's why what's going
we
on.
Can't hear anything. Yeah. Right? It's so loud. Yeah. Right? But cool. But hearing, protect your hearing. That's very important, and you shouldn't let yeah. concerts ruin your life.
So I think in the end, at the end of the day here. So what we're talking about is choose your entertainment wisely, but choose it freely. Don't get out there and experience stuff. Don't
right. Right.
You know, go. I challenge everybody. Since they can't do it like I do, you know, necessarily, you not necessarily have to watch a new movie every day because there's tons of stuff out there to see.
Tons.
Don't worry about your FOMO. Don't worry you're missing on something. Everything that's old is new again. It'll all come back around. It's fine. But if you have like Amazon Prime or Hulu or Netflix or all three or, you know, HBO or Showtime or any of those things, I encourage you to watch a movie, at least one new movie, something you've completely never seen before, like once a week.
Yeah.
And you could go to the theater. Yeah, it could be the latest, whatever, you know, sequel to, yeah, I mean, yeah, if you really want to see Transformers 5, okay. And that's fine. And that's the thing. Like, it's a choice. Make a choice. Just make the effort to see something new at least once a week. I'm trying right. to do it, like, every day.
Right.
Maybe more on the weekends right. if I have more free time. But that's, but I think that expose yourself to stuff. Expose exactly. yourself to new things.
Right. Go support local bands. Go support local theater.
Yes.
You know, yes. whatever. Just get absolutely. Out and do different. Go to a comedy show. Now, here's the thing with comedy, though. What turns me off about comedy is when they hit the cheap, when they do the cheap notes, which basically yeah, well, is like yeah. swearing, sex, drugs. I don't like that.
Yeah, I agree. But that's the thing is, it's usually when you go see a comedy show, it's a mixed bag because there's multiple comics there. So if there's right. one you don't like, there's plenty. Yeah. There's probably others you do like.
And exactly. Usually, I totally agree.
For me, I know enough comedians, so I'll go to a show if somebody I know is in it and be like, okay, yes. and I'll see other people. I'm like, all right, right. Yeah, it wasn't bad. And,
right, right, right.
But I've been fortunate to go to venues like in L.A. with the Comedy Store and like the, mm-hmm. the Improv on Melrose and things like that where I can see really good comedy
yes.
as well, even if I'm in the back room and not the main room. Like, I still right. see some good comedians starting and
right, right.
and doing their stuff. And right. so,
well, you know,
yeah, get out there and do stuff. And if right. you can't find anything that you like out there, there's nothing stopping you from making it yourself.
Right. We got to do that. We got to do something.
You know, we should totally start a podcast.
You know what?
I was
thinking about
that.
Where
you and I just talk
that.
About this stuff every week.
Right.
You know, I think it would really take off.
Exactly. Well, I think we've warmed up enough over the past year that we should actually have a real okay. podcast.
Well, we've got to, yeah, that's true. And we'll talk about that more, but we're out of time. So we need to wrap this up because you got your heart out from like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, I know. So, this was exciting.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of the Brian Trust. I'm sorry we went a little over this week, but you can, I mean, not that it matters digitally on the internet, but... you can find our podcast on our website at briantrustpodcast.com. Mm-hmm. You can subscribe there or in iTunes. If you subscribe in iTunes, please rate and review the show. Be right. honest, but be fair. Let's work on that. We'll have to yep. talk a little bit about some of that, too, because it sounds like the podcast stuff is making some changes in Apple in a couple of weeks. So maybe we'll talk about that a little bit next yes. week or off the air, at least, whatever. But you can, yeah, we have an RSS feed, so you can subscribe wherever fine podcasts are caught.
Yep.
What have you. You right. can talk to us online at Facebook, facebook.com/TheBrianTrust. Let us know mm-hmm. what movies you're watching lately that right. you really enjoyed.
Right. Or you can call Brian. What's your phone number?
555, not your business.
How'd you do
but
that?
You can also find us on Twitter. It's twitter.com, obviously, @TheBrianTrust. Mm-hmm. Individually, we're on Twitter as well. I am @ActorGeek.
And I am @BSelke. Thank yeah. you.
So thank you once again for joining us. Check out, you know, Rick and Morty Season 3, mm-hmm. Donnie and Marie, MegaphoneMusic.com, whatever yeah. floats your boat. Try some things out. And
try some
great,
stuff.
If you like it, great. And if you don't complain to us. You tried it, move on.
Yeah, it's good. So, thank you. You're welcome. We made you a better person.
I hope so. So that's it for this episode of the Brian Trust, episode 45. You know, 50 is coming up quick. We're going to have to do something weird for that. But
mm-hmm.
So thanks so much for listening. And until next time,
I'm Pickle Rick!
so good. Oh man, Rick and Morty. It's so bonkers. It really bonkers.
Bonkers.
What's gonna happen with Jerry? I don't know.